Monday. Open wide dev fans.
Get ready
to stuff your face with JavaScript, CSS, node modules, barbecue tips, Git workflows, breakdancing, soft skills, web development. The hastiest, the craziest, the tastiest web development treats. Coming in hot, here is Wes, Barracuda, Boss, and Scott, El Toro Loco, Tolinsky.
Welcome to Syntax and this Monday hasty treat. We're going to be talking all about some of our VS Code tasty treats here. And this is going to be sort of a part or two for a couple weeks ago. We did a VS Code hasty treat where we talked about some of our favorite things. And you know what? VS Code has so many awesome features, awesome new things. It's changing and evolving all the time. So we thought we would take some time to do another episode. And in this episode, we're going to be talking about some extensions that we like, some features, some things to learn, some keyboard commands, some snippet libraries, those kind of things, and just all the stuff we love. My name is Scott Tolinsky. I'm a developer from Denver, Colorado, and with me, as always, is Wes Boss. How you doing, Wes?
Hey, doing great. It's actually Canada Day.
Woo!
Here today. So it's a holiday, but we're going to be taking a whole bunch of time off this summer, so we thought we would work today and not goof up our recording schedule. We record on Mondays, which is hilarious because almost all holidays are on Mondays.
Yeah, that's weird. It seems like there's a lot of holidays on our recording time. But yeah, no, I'm excited for this episode. I'm excited for VS Code. And another thing I'm excited about is one of our sponsors today is a longtime sponsor of Syntax. And those of you who have listened for a very long time will recognize the sponsor as one of the ones that we gush about all the time. And this is Netlify. Netlify is a service to host your front-end code, your serverless functions. You can do so much stuff with Netlify. It is unbelievable. And let me tell you that the experience of getting started with Netlify is as simple as just selecting your repo, choosing your build command, and have it go. It takes care of continuous integration, all that stuff that you know and is a giant pain in the butt to set up somewhere else. Netlify makes it nice and easy. So, I mean, this is one of those services that the proof is really in the pudding here where we gotta go and use it. And to do that, you want to head to netlify.com/syntax and you want to sign up. You want to check it out. And I don't know if this feature is going to be live by the time you're listening to this, but we know for a fact that this is going to be announced. This is Netlify's new analytics service that is going to be one of those things that's going to knock your socks off because these analytics can be trusted. Unlike some analytics like Google Analytics, they're coming directly from the browser, which can, well, a lot of stuff in the client can be spoofed. This is all coming directly from the DNS. So this is going to be analytics that you can't spoof. And this is going to give you better real data that is going to be more accurate and easier to trust, I should say. So
yeah. Like I can't trust my analytics at all Almost all web developers use ad blockers. So if I look at my like email open rates or conversion rates or Google Analytics, they're like so far off from my actual sales data and like actual amount of people that I think are on my website. So
it's like, what's the point of even looking at them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
By getting the logs from just the server request is amazing because you can't block a server request. Otherwise you're blocking the entire website.
Yeah, right. Cool. So let's get into it with this VS Code hasty treat. Now, I think we want to start off with some extensions. We did a whole bunch of our favorite extensions last time. This one, I kind of want to just talk about some extensions that are, you know, interesting. Some that we use or ones that we find to be useful. And the first one I want to talk about is Git Blame. Now, Git Blame is the one that allows you to easily see who the heck wrote a line of code. And this makes it really nice and easy if you're on a team. Whenever your cursor is on a particular line of code, down at the bottom little info bar, it will tell you exactly who wrote that line of code. For instance, I'm on a line of code right now in my API, and it says that I wrote this line of code. S. Tolinsky wrote this 2 years ago. So you can see instantly if something's not working. And Wes Boss was the culprit. Wes Boss wrote this line. It will say Wes Boss wrote this line of code. And it was, of course, better than the line of code that you wrote. So you can see exactly what's going on, who wrote what. And one of these tools I'm a big fan of. Do you use Git Blame at all? I know you don't really code on a team that much.
I don't use it in VS Code. I do use Git Blame every now and then when I want to see what's going on. Is this the one where it actually shows you in line inside your codes?
I don't know if it, I think it maybe can. I'm not sure. This one just shows you down at the bottom, which I find to be nice and unobtrusive. Yeah. I've turned off all pop-ups and hovers really in my VS Code. So like, I don't see those pop-ups.
I used to have that one where it would just put it above the chunk of code that the person had written because it can do that. And I really didn't like having it in line because it looks like there's actual code inside of there. So I totally turned that off. I also had, I was doing a workshop once and somebody had actually like typed down that piece of code. It was from the other one, which was VS Code like file size, where it tells you how, or import costs. That's the one. Mm-hmm. It tells you how big the imports are. And somebody actually wrote like 128 KB beside as if it was code. And I had to go, you got to remember these things as we're teaching.
That sounds like something that I would do. I'd be like, I don't understand why this isn't working. And in token, valid token, what is this saying? Like another one I've been using, although this plugin is great. Let me tell you this. I'm going to preface this with this, so don't sound like I'm hating on this at all, but it is not exactly the easiest one to set up. And that's the official Apollo GraphQL package. And you do need some things. You need to, well, you can publish your schema with the Apollo schema registry. And you set up an API key. There's a lot of setup involved. And it was kind of frustrating because I felt like I had the setup working and then something changed and then it broke. And I felt like I was kind of chasing it for a little bit. But the features you get out of this are really good. It adds really nice, well, it adds syntax highlighting, which you can get already from other places. But it gets really great intelligent auto-completion for fields, arguments, types, variables. So when you're writing your queries, you get more information. Basically, it's making VS Code aware of your schema and how it all functions together. That way, you can see exactly what's happening. Like you can hover over a fragment and it's going to tell you what exists in that fragment. It gives you some performance information. It validates fields. It's really, really pretty cool. I like this extension a lot. It is kind of a pain in the butt to set up from my personal experience, but definitely one worthy of checking out if you are an Apollo user.
Next one we have here is the VS Code spell checker, which is funny that this is like one thing that is just not included in VS Code, the ability to do spell check. And it's frustrating because it doesn't use like the system spell check. You have to use a totally separate plugin, but it's good. It works well. You can add items to your own dictionary, which is cool. You can also, it also allows you to install dictionaries from other commonly used, like you can install a JavaScript dictionary and it'll do things like const and let. It'll make those actual words in your dictionaries. You don't have to add them yourself. It does spell check from camel case, which is cool. So like if you type a word in camel case, it will translate that to just like spaces and then spell check it for you, which is really, really cool. That would not happen with normal spell check. And probably my favorite thing about this that I didn't know for the longest time is that my biggest gripe is that it puts a little like light bulb near the spelling mistake and you have to click the light bulb. And it's so frustrating because it just, the light bulb moves on me all the time to like a random spot. I don't understand how it's detecting it. Probably something to do with my Zoom settings. But I realized that you can just use, in VS Code, there's these things called code actions, which will modify your code, like ESLint is a code action. And what this will do is if you just hit command space, you can select the spelling correction with your keyboard, which my biggest qualm with built-in OS X is you cannot fix a spelling mistake from the keyboard. You have to reach for your mouse.
Oh, yeah.
And well, I've forever looked for a solution for this. And since I do almost everything in VS Code, you can now do it from the keyboard by just hitting command space. And that will open up a list of fixes. I love that tip.
I should mention for those of you Alfred users who have tuned the command space, you might need to have a little change for that. What is your Alfred command, Wes? I'm interested in that.
Mine is option space.
Option space. Alfred. Whoa. I used command space because that was like always the default. And then that was the default for Spotlight in Mac OS. So I'm going to maybe have to reassign some keyboard commands because I don't use this. I kind of use my mouse a lot. I'm a little bit of a mouse user, and I think that makes some people upset. But I need to get on this code action business because I'm clicking the light bulb right now, and I shouldn't necessarily be clicking that light bulb. I want to talk about a new feature that was recently added to VS Code, which is being able to change the tree indentation and allowing to have guides in the tree. So the tree is the explorer. Do they call it the explorer? Let's see, view explorer. Yeah. So command shift E, it's where your files are living. And if you're like me, you know, I have my structure of my application memorized. I don't need to see a ton of spread out in this thing. So you can change the intent level to make it more compact, more concise, or you can make it bigger and you can add some indent lines here. There's another property of preference called tree indent guides, which is going to draw lines from your folder to your folder. This is a new thing here in VS Code at some point. I should state that I am on the insider's build, but I'm pretty sure it's in the regular one as well.
What's this called again? Tree.
If it's indent? Not in yours, it might just be in the insiders and it might be coming to the other one. So let's go ahead and search for tree indent in dent. Tree indent. Yeah. So, okay. Workbench.
I just have tree indent pixels.
Oh, wow. Okay. So this must be one that's coming to VS Code. And so I see tree indent where you can choose the indent in pixels. You see that?
Yeah.
And then there one directly below it will be workbench tree render indent guides. And you can tell it to always on hover or none. You actually should change mine to on hover. That's a little bit nicer. So this is coming in VS Code Insiders. By the time you're listening to this, it might be in your VS Code. So double check. Mm-hmm. I use the Insiders. I don't know why. It's kind of a pain in the butt to update it every day, but that's just how I am.
Yeah, I switched away from Insiders just because I found that the pace of new features in VS Code was already
fast.
So fast,
yeah,
that I didn't even... Every now and then I want to try something new. And I'll dip into Insiders. I just checked it now. And you're right. The tree render, that's a huge pain point from mine, is that especially doing workshops, people put files in the wrong folder. Yep. Because the indentation is it's muddy as to like where you actually are. And this and the new breadcrumbs is going to help that a lot.
Yeah. And that's the next one we want to talk about is breadcrumbs. When this got released, I turned on breadcrumbs right away. And breadcrumbs basically adds if you don't know what the term breadcrumb is, it means it basically is like, here's the folder structure that it took to get to where you are. And, or even like any sort of navigational structure, because a breadcrumb on a website is just the navigational structure. But here we can see that, like, if I'm in playlist.js, my little breadcrumb shows playlist.js is inside of a playlist folder, which is inside of an API folder, which is inside of an imports folder. And just by clicking any of those folders, it opens up a nice little dropdown, allows me to potentially open up other files within that same folder. Like if I click playlist.js, it shows me every single file that's in that folder. So then I can then click on playlist.graphql if I want to jump into my GraphQL schema. Really cool.
It goes even further than folders and file names. It will show you what function you're currently in.
Yeah.
And then you can drop down a little further and see what variables are inside of that function. And then it's actually an awesome tool for viewing scope of variables, because you can see what variables are scoped to that module. You can see what functions are there. You can see if there's like a closure and you have like a for each inside of that, it will nest them. It's pretty impressive that it goes as deep as this. And you can do this in Sublime, where you used to be able to hit, I think it's Command R. It works in VS Code. At least for me, it's Command R, and that will open up the @ sign in your command palette, and then you can just search for function names. But this will just give you sort of a nice little map view of all the functions in that specific module.
Yeah, I don't think Command R is the default for that. What is the default for that? I'm not sure what the default is.
If you just open up your command palette and type then you'll be able to see all of the different... These things are called symbols, which is a good word. Variables, functions, methods. I'm sure other languages have different names for them.
Yeah. Cool. So breadcrumbs is one thing that if you don't have on, you can turn on. I believe it is in view menu, where you can select view from the very top and then show breadcrumbs is the one. It should be right by minimap. There, show minimap and then show breadcrumbs is there. You can just check it. Next one I want to talk about is the version control menu, or SCM. If you do Command Shift G, Control Shift G. And this thing, how much do you use this? Because I primarily use Git via the command line, but I love the VS Code Git features, specifically just managing commits, managing changes through this Command Shift G. Do you use this at all?
I don't, but it's the first time I've used it every now and then, I should say. And I especially use it for the color highlighting in the sidebar to see which files are new, which files have been modified, because it will color them red or yellow or green based on their Git status. Mm-hmm. I've not used this as a GUI, but I think that if you are getting into Git, I think that this is how you should should be learning it. I think that the only reason I use the command line is just because I'm an old guy and
I know.
I've been using Git on the command line forever.
I use the command line a lot. There's several things I do use this interface for. Like if I'm doing a commit, I have a keyboard or an alias set up for my ZSH that I use primarily. But sometimes when I'm in here, I'll do command shift G and just type in the message box and then do command enter to commit. And it's so fast. Every time I do it, I'm like, man, why am I not doing this more often? It's very fast.
Maybe I need to like force myself to use it for like an entire week or something like that and then make a decision on that. Cause that's, it might even be better.
It doesn't pull you out at all. And there's even switching branches. Like if you switch branches, there's a couple ways. I don't know the keyboard shortcut, to be honest. I know I'm going to, you know, with my mouse clicking, but I click on the branch name in the bottom left. And then you could just choose which branch you want directly from here. And it not only visually shows you every single branch that exists in your repo, but for me, I find it very nice to just sort of get an overview of the current state of my version control to see, okay, here are all of these branches. Maybe I should prune some of these branches. Maybe these are ones that I created at some point, you know, had an idea with, and now I want to delete them. And you can delete branches from Git too directly. If you just head to your command palette, you can type in delete, and that should bring up the Git delete branch. And then you can just go highlight a branch that you're not using anymore, click on it and delete that branch if it's one that is no longer necessary. I'm definitely a fan of Marie Kondo method. Some of my branches here in Git, clean it up a bit. Only the essentials.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I also like the UI for merging things.
Yeah, beautiful.
I'm a big fan of the GUI that will show you what's been added and what's been removed. And you can also just like diff two different files. If you feel like it, you can diff from your master branch to another branch or to an old commit. I know all of these things you could do in Git, but it's just, I think it's so much easier to have it built into your VS Code.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's funny because it's IDE. We say this every time we do these episodes, but it's like IDE people are going to be just shaking their heads 24/7 at us because it's like, this is the stuff you could do for IDE. Or you could do it in an IDE and just have it be, I don't know, easy, built in, and something that you've either paid for or not, WebStorm, any of that stuff. And, you know, but hey, this is free and it's VS Code. Cool. Well, there is so many darn things to learn and to get down with VS Code. We're running out of time in this hasty tree, but we have so many other things that we're going to extend this into a monster part three, where we're going to be talking about some really things that we love that are really important to learn in VS Code. We're going to be talking about some keyboard commands, and we're going to compile some of our favorite snippet libraries and maybe talk a little bit about some tools to generate snippet libraries and how to use snippets to their fullest extent.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for tuning in. If you have your own VS Code tips, make sure you tweet us at SyntaxFM. I'm at WestBoss and Scott is at Stalinsky.
Yes. And that's it. Yeah, we love VS Code. So tweet us out some of your favorite extensions. We want to hear what you're using, what you're loving within VS Code. Maybe some sick tips and tricks that we have not covered in this episode. And we will hit you up with one of those nice fancy retweets from the Syntax Twitter. So thank you so much for listening. And we will catch you on Wednesday.
Peace.
Peace. Head on over to syntax.fm for a full archive of all of our shows. And don't forget to subscribe in your podcast player or drop a review if you like this show.